We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Heyo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast, coming to you live from Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at EchnerWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. You can follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. We would love if you gave a thumbs up to the video along with the comments from Justin Matthew and the Untold Truth, as well as subscribing to our channel if you haven't yet. We're closing in on 50,000 subscribers. The Cubs show just wrapped up. We got the White Sox for the next hour. The Bulls are currently live. We'll have a Blackhawk show later. We have you covered for everything Chicago. So much, in fact, we are sending two people all the way to Arizona, and one of them is the Blue, Vinny Duber. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. Hi, Vinny.
Had I known I was going to be, have just nothing but sky as my backdrop, I would have worn a different color shirt. But you'll have to follow my floating head, here as I'm out in the cloudless land of Arizona.
I just kind of like that your color hat and your sweatshirt matches the sky. You kind of just blend in and you're just a head, and it's kind of fun. I don't hate it. Let's talk about today, because it seemed like a busy day. Day three of spring training. You can go back and check out the shorts that Vinny made on day one and day two, the three things that he learned from those days. You can obviously go back and listen to the 2 hours that we've done already, recapping day two and day three. But it seems like the big news is Chris Getz addressing Mike Moustakas, the new face of camp, along with the Dylan Cease trade rumors, as well as Michael Soroka and Michael Kopech addressing the competition that we've heard so much about for that White Sox rotation. Anything else that we're going to be getting into on day three that we're missing into? Do you want to start with your hike?
Yeah, I was able to squeeze in a hike. I was getting worried when it said 37-minute drive from Camelback Ranch to the trailhead. I was like, oh boy, I don't know if I'm going to have time for this and then make the show. But I was able to squeeze it in, and so there you go. There's some lovely pictures from South Mountain.
What is that? What are you pointing at?
That would be the city of Phoenix.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The view.
Yeah.
I've never been. I don't know. I'm so sorry. Maybe that was Glendale. I know Glendale and Phoenix are apparently close. Was it a good walk? Is this a good hike you've done before? You know, is this just glad to be back, or is this a new experience?
First time on this trail, it was a bit of a workout. I got really sweaty. It was really hot. Once I got moving, obviously, I had, whether this was a good idea or not, I had long sleeves and long pants, to get sweaty a little bit, and boy did it work. So I was able to get a good workout today, going up and down and up and down and up and down. So it was nice. It was nice to be high up on a mountain.
Did you encounter any snakes or any scorpions or any members of the group Scorpions?
No, they're all in Germany, or I don't know if they're all alive, but nothing dangerous up there. I saw a couple of desert quail, but I feel like had they charged me, I could have taken them.
We're happy you're safe, Vinny.
That is what I always worry about in Arizona, just all the wild animals just running around all the goddamn time.
I've never seen a snake or a scorpion out here. I've seen coyotes, but that's about it.
Chain Doan just walking around every day.
Oh, hey, look at you. I think all the scorpions are alive. No. Okay. Anyway,
here they are. Rock them like a hurricane.
Yeah. Do they have anything else?
Probably not.
All right.
That's a good song.
Do they?
Oh yeah. I believe they even have one called Arizona, which is fitting.
It's very fitting. Probably know so much about it. They were inspired to write a 3-minute song. Anyways, let's get into the actual White Sox news. The biggest thing that at least the comments are talking about is Mike Moustakas, the 69th name invited into White Sox camp. This is a minor league deal. We have about 2 minutes of Chris Getz speaking on Mike Moustakas. Why don't we hear from Chris Getz first, and then we'll hear from Vinny Duber, who filmed Chris Getz. So here is Chris Getz on Mike Moustakas and why he was brought into White Sox camp this year.
Well, you know, you look at, you know, how productive he was for the Rockies early on in the season last year. There is a relationship that not only Pedro has with him, but I do as well. And, you know, when you know, knowing Mike, and, you know, when he has something to truly prove, he wants to prove that he can still go out there and be a productive major league player. Knowing that he has that baked into his mindset right now, felt like this was a good idea. Granted, you know, it's a minor league deal. He's got to show us what he's capable of doing. You know, but to have someone of his pedigree, obviously he's been to 2 World Series, he's won a World Series, you know, he's been an all-star, and so to have him come in here you know, be around the guys and compete for a spot, it seemed like a very obvious move to make, and excited to have him be part of this group.
Whenever you acquire another Kansas City Royal, there's always a reaction out there from fans. Oh, that's another one. But it's sort of, does it stem from just the natural relationship and connection you have with the Royals?
I think it's more the individuals. In speaking to Moose, we've got, you know, a history, both teammate and I was in the office over there, but we've become friends through the years, and I know what he can bring to the table, most importantly as a player. And it allowed me to get, a different type of access, perhaps. Why wouldn't you take advantage of something like that? I've got great respect for the person, the player, the family, we want him to come out here and be productive to help us win ball games, and that's the most important thing. But when it comes to a connection with Royals, it's I look at the individual, and if it happens to give me the benefit because there is a longer history, so be it.
I don't know what it looked like when he played second base. Is that something that's even in the mix for him, or what do you envision him?
I want him to come in here and we'll see how he looks offensively. Obviously, he's got a long history at third base and he can play first base. It's really about the bat, but I know he's in great shape and we'll see where that plays out. I don't want to limit him either.
Another guy with something to prove. We've heard a lot about internal motivation, whether it be from Chris Getz or Pedro Grifol. Mike Moustakas is 35, but Vinny, it's your favorite type of White Sox signing this year. It's another Royal. It's your favorite storyline being dredged up again. Could you just start maybe begging Chris Getz to knock it off?
It's funny. I think I've told the story on here before. Chris Getz in 2012 was the first major league player I ever interviewed in a major league clubhouse. I think Mike Moustakas might have been the second. Their lockers were right down from each other. They were both part of that Royals team that I covered as an intern way back when. But listen, this is a minor league signing. This is a guy who's a non-roster invite to camp. This is not the big free agent acquisition of the offseason, right? This is, hey, come to camp, and if you can hit the way that you used to hit, and which is getting to be many years ago, because I don't think he's been an above average major league hitter since 2019. Then, hey, now we're talking about a spot on this roster for you. But if he doesn't, then no harm, no foul, right? I mean, this is kind of a very low-risk situation. What is interesting is we've talked all year about the guys that they've added at the major league level as being defense first, right? As being, we'll hope here that the Moncadas and the Eloys and the Benintendis, come around and they make the offense better. Here's a guy now in Moustakas where Chris Getz is coming out and saying, listen, we got him to see what's in his bat. And we're not worried about it being a positional need. They didn't go out and sign him to a minor league deal because they need a backup first baseman for Andrew Vaughn, or they want to take starts away from Yoan Moncada at third base. This is, hey, what can you do? And if I'm looking at the White Sox roster, this is now a competition to see who can be the lefty power bat off the bench between Mike Moustakas and Gavin Sheets. And that really is what jumps out at me. But listen, this is a guy that needs to prove it to the White Sox that he even deserves to be considered for his job on the major league roster. This is a minor league deal for a guy who hasn't put up big offensive numbers in quite a while now.
My thoughts exactly, Zvinny. This, I think, raises the floor slightly because I would rather have Mike Moustakas than Gavin Sheets be the lefty power bat. And power is also I put those in quotes for Mike Moustakas at his age right now. But is he better than Gavin Sheets handling the bat versus right-handers? I believe so. And I don't know if Gavin has any more options left. They could still keep Gavin while having Mike Moustakas making the team. And as you said, if Mike Moustakas is cash, like many of us think it is, no harm, no foul. He could just be cut by the end of spring training, and you have the roster that you have. So, yes, I just point out that there's another former Royal on the team. I'm having fun with it at this point. But I don't sweat over Mike Moustakas being an actual White Sox because more than likely he won't play a lot.
Well, and also, too, I heard Whit Merrifield's closing down on his decision. So we'll see if another Royal pops up just because, again, I've had that feeling in my stomach. I don't care.
I would go wild for Whit Merrifield.
Yeah, I don't know.
It would be the biggest sign of the offseason.
I would not care.
It would be the biggest sign. No?
No.
Who would be bigger? Fetty?
Fetty, and I also just don't care about Whit Merrifield. Mm. Why do you want another 35-year-old?
Oh.
Anyways. No offense to my 35-year-old out there.
I was going to say, you're 1 year away from being very offensive. 1 year away from being very offensive. I'll agree with you for now because I'm so much younger than that. But if this was next year and you were saying that, I'd be real mad.
With all your hiking, you're like 32. Don't worry. Anyways, I don't care too much about the whole Royal thing because, again, connections are connections. This is Chris Getz's first year, and we don't really have high expectations for this. We'll see what 2025 looks like. Is this more Royal connections that we see stretched out for the White Sox, or will we see more of a directed push to improve this team? As we can tell, 2024 is more about maybe setting the example, and the White Sox know that these guys can set examples. They're not good at baseball, and that's the big thing. He mentions, Chris Getz, the time Mike Moustakas spends in Colorado, but nothing really jumps off from whether it is facing right-handers in that time from up to June 21st or even in his time with the Angels. From his time with the Rockies, he had an average exit velocity of 88.6, not really hitting the ball that hard. With the Angels, that was at 89.4, a little harder, which is surprising, as we know, because bat speed by month, when you have a 35-year-old, it dips and dips and dips. So I don't really love the signing, but it does also seem like no harm, no foul. I know that he does have better numbers against right-handers than Gavin Sheets did. So again, is this just, can he provide not even 200 at bats against right-handers, but can he give you a decent 150? You know, I mean, we've seen Matt Carpenter have a little bit of a revitalization in his later years, so it doesn't mean that, you know, Mike Moustakas is done, but doesn't look good.
And technically, Mike Moustakas can play multiple positions, first base, shortstop, maybe shortstop, second base, and third base is his primary spot that he played. I think he played at a below average pace last year, but Gavin now is just pretty much a designated hitter backup first baseman. So, yes, if Mike Moustakas shows any type of old Mike Moustakas in this spring training, I believe that that spot is his, and Gavin Sheets will be relegated either to AAA or just DFA'd outright.
Any more thoughts?
First of all, Herb, oh. First of all, Herb, Mike Moustakas cannot play shortstop. He will not be playing shortstop for this team.
I mean, I correct myself. Sorry, third, second, first.
But I think what I want to point out is that less than this being about Mike Moustakas specifically, it is the continuation of a trend that we've seen this spring, or really this winter, which is there's a lot of non-roster guys in camp right now who have a shot at making this team. And I don't know if any of them will, but the opportunity is there. And I think it speaks mostly to the point where the White Sox are kind of starting another rebuilding process. There's maybe more opportunity for these guys because there's just not as many locked down roster spots. But as you look across that list of 69 names that are at spring training, you've got guys like Moustakas, like Pilar, there's guys like Rafael Ortega who are here. And then certainly the bullpen is full of them, guys who could be on this team, be it Chad Kuhl or Corey Knebel or Dominic Leone, whatever, take your pick. It sure seems like there's a lot of opportunity for these minor league signings to turn into major league jobs. And, we can go through it and be a little bit more specific at a later date. But I think that the thing to watch when it comes to, roster battles, which we always want to pay attention to at spring training, is that there's a bunch of guys that they just went and signed to minor league deals who might find themselves on the major league roster come opening day.
Did you say shortstop?
Mistakenly, yes.
Okay, no, I'm not trying to bag on you. I'm just genuinely wondering it, because the last time I did find it, last time Mike Moustakas played shortstop, July 28th, 2008, in single A with the Burlington Bees.
Ooh, Wisconsin's finest team.
It was single A. So I mean, maybe in his youth, maybe he's got something to prove. Maybe he wants to be a shortstop.
Hell, we played Tim Anderson there last year. Can't be worse.
Oh boy,
breaking bad on Timmy. I'm sorry, Tim.
But you're right about that, Vin, with all the non-roster invites and the potential guys that could make this list. Herb, just give me a shout out if any of these guys are locked. Max Stassi?
Lock.
Yeah.
All yes, right. Lock. Yeah.
Gavin Sheets?
No.
Danny Mendick?
No.
Kevin Pillar?
No.
All right. So outside of the catchers, which seem to be clear, Maldonado and Stassi, it seems like there's three bench spots open. So we'll see how that all plays out. It's going to be interesting. There's a lot of competition coming up with the rotation. Let's take a break. We'll hear from Chris Getz on one guy that won't have to face too much competition outside of the bidders because of all the people that want to trade for him, and Dylan Cease. But then we'll also hear from Michael Soroka and Kopech on the upcoming competition for those jobs in the rotation. We want to let you know, though, about our friends over at Prize Picks. I know Herb just won an entry over at Prize Picks. I won an entry over at Prize Picks. Evan Mobley and Brandon Miller cashed for me. I took more on their points, rebounds, and assists, and that was very fun. It's the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They are the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you just pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can do this right before the Blackhawks game. It takes just about 60 seconds to make an entry. It's very simple to play. Again, if you just feel like a guy like Connor Bedard, maybe we'll get some shots on goals. You can go look for the shots prop on Prize Picks and make your entry. They also offer a reboot policy so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players get injured for football and basketball games. If you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player is reboosted. Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with an injury insurance policy. So go check out our friends over at prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100. I know you knew that Io was going to just, embarrass Trae Young.
Oh, yeah. He's always embarrassing Trae Young. So I went over on Io's 19.5 points, rebounds, and assists, under on Trae Young's points, rebounds, and assists, which is like 37. Just under and way over for Io DeSumo. Got myself $60 on my $20 investment.
So go head over to prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO. Daily Fantasy Sports made easy.
We're doing Charlie the Bacon Guy?
Yes, sir.
He is my favorite guy. He's based out of Woodridge, and he makes craft bacon and craft bacon jams for over 35 different flavors. Bacon and bacon jams are also naturally cured, preservative-free products. No ingredients that Charlie can't produce himself or pronounce himself involved in the process. Unlike other store-bought bacon, that stuff, I didn't even know how to pronounce that, exorbitate and sodium exorbitate. Ooh, for example, vacuum sealed and freezes perfectly. Bacon lasts in the package for up to 60 days in the fridge, 1 week after the seal is broken, and 9 months in the freezer. The bacon jam, it lasts 90 days in the fridge and one up to 1 year in the freezer. But of course, once you open the bacon jam, it won't be less than 90 days in your fridge because you'll be eating all that. Check out the awesome merch, beanies, hats, t-shirts, stickers, and coffee mugs. What's your favorite flavor, Sean? Is it maple bacon? Is it chorizo? Is it French toast? Honey chipotle or Maui Waui?
I'm a big fan of the honey chipotle. I like a little bit of sweet with a little bit of spice.
They also have honey chipotle, Cajun, jardinera, and raspberry chipotle. And the bacon jam flavors right now, the original, bourbon, mango habanero, which is my jam, and cherry jalapeno. The bacon jam goes perfectly with anything. Just put it on scrambled eggs, toast, crackers, burgers, grilled cheese, charcuterie boards, cinnamon rolls. Ooh, that's a new thing. Pizza, or Charlie's favorite, the spoon. The Bacon Vault, it's all the flavors that he's made in the past. If you're not currently available, give Charlie about 2 weeks, and he'll make it for you. That's personal service that you can't beat and you can't find anywhere else. Starting now, you could save 10% on your order at charliethebaconguy.com when you use the code CHGO at checkout. You can pick it up, which is the most efficient way for you to do it, or he can deliver it to you, or meet you at halfway, or even ship it. He makes the bacon so you can bring it home.
And Charlie's going to be apparently in studio on the 20th, so we are going to have hopefully some very, very, very delicious samples I'm to tell you about.
Usually comes in for the Hawks show, so I got to get here early. 20th. Because the last time he came in, all the bacon was gone. What? Greedy son of bitches.
Get in here early. All right. Let's head over to Dylan Cease. If you woke up this morning like I did to Jeff Passan's tweet, I think someone from the Baltimore beat had it first. So I want to give, I'll try to give them credit. I don't know their name off the top of the head of my head. But Kyle Bradish is going to hit the IL with a tear in his UCL, a Orioles starter that had an ERA under 3 last year. And John Means will not be making in the opening day roster due to health setbacks. So that is why Jesse Rogers starts this clip with Chris Getz asking about Baltimore, giving him a call. You could play the Getz on Cease one. You're all good.
Is Baltimore called today? They have a couple pitching injuries.
They have not called today.
Okay, all right.
Chris, what Jesse just asked you, I mean, we talked to Dylan yesterday, and Dylan was great about offseason and focus now. I mean, is there anything you've said to him about spring training that you can count on this or count on that, or just, you know, keep your mind open like you did and something could happen, but right now you're our opening day starter?
Yeah, I've said this many times. I don't worry about Dylan Cease just because of the makeup of the pitcher. I know that he, every day it's about, you know, sharpening his craft and trying to get better. I know that, you know, he had a tremendous offseason. He spoke about, you know, he's had some tricep soreness in the past, and to go through a smooth offseason without any sort of small hiccup. I know he's well positioned for the season, and he's going to prepare for opening day. And at this point, it looks like it's going to be with the White Sox.
Even if Baltimore didn't call today, or do you have to remain open to, you know, injuries in spring opening needs are creating demand? And do you have to kind of keep those channels open even if you're preparing to have Dylan as your opening day starter now?
Yeah, I mean, I've got to look at, you know, for the greater health of the organization, right? And if there's an opportunity that presents itself to make our major league club, you know, good this year, but also years to come, then we've got to consider something like that. And, you know, in regards to outside interest, that can be dictated by a lot of different things. And, you know, you speak of injuries that may happen or lack of productivity with other clubs. That could be a factor. You know, Dylan is an important piece of this organization, and, you know, he's preparing well. But, yeah, we're open-minded to whether it be Dylan or anyone else if we feel like it can help the organization both short-term and long-term.
And that is Chris Getz, the White Sox general manager, on Dylan Cease rumors, along with the Baltimore murmurings, along with Bradish and Means. Gunnar Henderson has an oblique aggravation. He will likely miss opening day, or he will likely be around for opening day. And then Samuel Basalo, who we thought maybe, if the White Sox were lucky, would be included in a Cease trade. He has a stress fracture and won't catch until April. Vinny, what'd you take away from at least that part of the Chris Getz one, just because it was so different from the Moustakas one? It's more Dylan Cease talk, but it still seems like he's the opening day starter until a Godfather package is dropped.
Yeah, I mean, you summed it up, and certainly Chris kind of said it all there. I think, you know, the thing that jumped out to me is Chris saying, going as far to say, hey, it sure seems like he's going to start on opening day for the White Sox. I mean, you talk about a guy who has made a habit of not taking anything off the table, and he's pointing here with a little bit more certainty than he normally speaks with. So I think that you know, jumped out at me. You know, maybe he has an understanding through a lot of the conversations that he had during the offseason that this is just not the time for this deal to be made. And as we get closer to the trade deadline, that might, you know, see some more desperation and some more likelihood of that deal being completed. That being said, this is exactly what we've been talking about for weeks as the kind of thing that can change to change the mindset of these teams who were, you know, maybe looking at the White Sox quote unquote demands and thinking that it was a little too much. I mean, you got two members of that Baltimore rotation being yanked right out of it. That's one of the most competitive rotations in baseball most competitive divisions in baseball. And that sort of thing can really, you know, change things around for a team that won that division last year. Maybe now the Yankees are you know, looking to leapfrog them. Maybe now the Blue Jays or the Rays are looking to leapfrog them. How do the Orioles stay competitive in a division when they just lost two of their more promising starting pitchers? They maybe do it by going out and getting Dylan Cease. But, of course, there's nothing saying that needs to happen now or by opening day. You know, it might take all the way till the trade deadline if the Orioles are, as we talked about all offseason, intent on having all those highly rated prospects play for them for the next decade.
And the thing is, too, with the Bradish injury, John Means is also not going to start the season on the Major League roster, apparently, and the injury you're talking about with Basilo, which is a minor leaguer. They traded away D.L. Hall, too, another person that they could have used in this rotation. So now they're depending on Cole Irvin, and I think his name is Tyler Wells. You know, I've never heard of Tyler Wells in my life before.
He made a start versus Sox, I'm
pretty
sure.
Yeah, probably will. But, like, those are fourth and fifth starters that you weren't depending on this year that you have to gear down to in the AL East, as you said, Vinny, the most competitive division in Major League Baseball this year. And so do the Baltimore Orioles feel like, okay, we're just going to pause a little bit, the UCL tear, we're just going to have Bradish pitch through it, which as a not a doctor, I think it's a little weak, kind of weird to pitch through a UCL tear, but it's their thing. Or are we going to go out and pursue something to make sure that our rotation is solid and go and get a guy that is posted every time he was asked to since, what, 2021? So it's up to them, and I think the White Sox, again, are in the driver's seat because of Chris Getz's steadfastness of just asking for what he wanted, and if you're not going to get what he wants, we'll stand here and have Dylan Cease be our guy on opening day. I was just back to you.
No, sorry. I'm sorry. My bad. I thought that would have been picked up. Anyways. Tyler Wells did start against the White Sox last year. They got to him early through the first six innings, and then the bullpen specifically ran out
six
the bullpen.
Six innings, though?
Pulled it. They were up
for that glass.
3-0. Oh, I'm so sorry. They were up 3-0 going into the sixth, and then the Sox bullpen blew it with 4-2 runs. All right. So Cease obviously seems locked in for the White Sox rotation, though, but we know that there's competition maybe outside of Dylan Cease and Eric Fetty. So two of those guys, Michael Kopech and Michael Soroka, who we are lovingly referring to as the Michaels, spoke today. Who do you think is more important to hear from first? Whether Kopech, the guy who's been here and obviously fans have been more connected to throughout his, you know, past 6 years, I think, in the White Sox organization, or Soroka, the new guy who might be having a lot of promise bringing with him from Atlanta?
Oh, Kopech. I think Michael Kopech is probably one of the more bigger focal points of the spring camp for the White Sox. Is he going to clean that stuff up? Is Brian Bannister going to have the effect that we thought? And certainly Michael Kopech touched on trying to kind of move on from all the bad things that happened last year.
And part of that bad things was not really the cleanest start to his offseason. Here he is talking about the clean offseason that he's had. And here is about 7 minutes of Kopech talking about that competition for this White Sox rotation this year.
Clean slate, I think, is a good way to describe it. Last year, as a team, we had plenty of woes. As an individual, I had just as many. So to come in feeling healthy, ready to go, ready to compete, and ready to build a new culture within the team, I think is something that we're all pretty fixated on. Kind of a fresh start. There's not a whole lot of pressure on us because there's not much expectations out of us. So I think we have the ability to impress a lot easier than people might expect.
Pedro talked a couple times about putting last year behind everyone, but I imagine you looked at it after it was done. What did you take away from it, personally, from the 2023 season? What did you learn from it?
I think there's a lot to learn from it. A lot of it just being preparation and effort. I think that we didn't play the game the way that we could have played the game. I think a lot of that just comes from taking it serious and preparing as a professional on an individual level and as a team, like I said. But I think that we can do a better job of that, and I think that's already being addressed here in the early days, so it's good to see.
Mike, you look around the clubhouse, and from a year ago, there's no more Giolito, there's no more Lynn, there's no more Clevenger, Dylan's obviously on the trade block, but you're still here. And it's almost like a fresh new beginning for the entire pitching staff along with Michael Kopech.
Yeah, I think it's a new feeling for sure. You get used to faces, you make friends, you make relationships, you have guys that you look at as leaders, and then when they're not around, different responsibilities and roles, all the different people in the clubhouse, for lack of better terms, vibes going around, and the team has to kind of get to know each other in a new way. So I think for like me and Dylan personally right now, this is a brand new feeling, and we're trying to take advantage of that and take responsibility as guys that have been on the staff.
To that point, Michael, was this offseason strange with all the trade rumors for Dylan and other guys? Were you checking your phone, seeing the reports as well?
No, I was not checking. I kind of hang up baseball when baseball is over with, and then I come back and I find out everything that happened. So it's a lot of new faces. It's a new scene here for us. But with those adjustments comes a lot of opportunity. And so I think that's the way we have to look at it.
You're talking about the new faces. It seems like high character guys. Moustakas now is the latest. Jesse Chavez has been around. There's others. Sounds like a concerted effort to bring in those kind of guys.
Absolutely. On staff as well. I think that that has been very intentional, and with the new guys being here, the ones I've gotten to talk to, the staff I've gotten to talk to, it seems like we're all moving in the same direction. A lot of good people, to say the least, that kind of creates that culture that Pedro talks about. So it's exciting to see how that's going to all come together, but it seems like it's moving in the right direction.
What was your off-season focus this year? What did you kind of work on?
Mainly getting healthy. I've been banged up the past couple of years and had an opportunity to go and clean some stuff up and feel good again. So I got myself in pretty good shape and continued throwing and working on tightening some stuff up on the mound. But just kind of fine-tuning everything and coming in ready to go and not feeling like I'm behind the eight ball.
Are you carrying more weight and muscle this year?
Actually lost about 20 pounds.
Really?
As far as you never complained about your leg or the strength of your leg. You just went out there and competed. Do you feel this this year coming in that you're going to have that full strength and that you can be Michael Kopech again?
Yeah, I do. Right now, I feel like I'm able to move well. The ball's coming out well. I feel like I'm getting into some positions that were difficult for me to get into in the past couple of years. So my movement patterns are kind of cleaned up and everything, and I'm excited to see how that translates to the mound.
What has it been like working with Brian Bannister? We saw him in your bullpen yesterday, you know, having a pretty in-depth conversation with you. What has it been like working with him?
I think he brings a lot to the table. I think he's got a lot to offer as far as pitch design and, you know, how I can make some adjustments to clean things up. He's been around some really good pitchers, some good staffs, and, I think that there's some things last year that I wasn't happy with that we're already addressing right now. So it's exciting to see how that's going to kind of change the approach I have to pitches this year.
I think back to that day back in December of 2016 when the trade was made and you brought to this organization, and the expectations of you were so high because you were such a flamethrower out there. Have you gotten to the point where you're like, man, it's got to turn around. I've got to deliver because I know the pitcher that people thought I was going to be and I need to be.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily the pressure what people expect from me. That's something I'm trying to live up to, but it's more so what I expect of myself. I know that I have capabilities that I haven't shown at this level yet, and there's still that edge that I want to be able to, you know, provide that to the team and help the team, you know, compete to win a championship. And in order to do that, I need to, you know, live up to my potential. So yeah, that's something that's very much a focus of mine. You
know. Pedro talked about not wanting to talk about last year, putting everything in the past and moving forward. But is it valuable to remember the positives and the negatives as you learn about, you know, things in baseball when you move forward to 2024?
Yeah, I think a big part of, you know, having to bounce back here is understanding what you're putting behind you. So, you know, we don't want to dwell on last year, to reiterate what Pedro's saying, but at the same time, we need to learn from the mistakes that were going on. And so to recognize those and address those and to not go back to those, I think, is important.
In simplest terms, Mike, would 30-plus starts be a goal for you?
Yeah, I mean, that was my goal last year, and unfortunately I fell short of that. Still a goal of mine this year as far as an individual goal, but right now, I think that we're all kind of focused on a team goal right now and getting everything to click and come together and, you know, moving the right direction and prepare for a winning season.
You're throwing to Maldonado
by him to catch. He communicates well. He came up to me before the bullpen, he came up to me after the bullpen. Aside from what you guys saw outside here in the clubhouse, he wants to have a game plan. He wants to address what we're working on. He wants to kind of analyze what we have worked on. And I think that speaks to the professionalism in him. And I know he's coming from an organization that does things like that. So I'm excited to get to work with him a little bit more. But the little bit that I have has been a good experience.
That's White Sox pitcher Michael Kopech. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to let you know about some of our sponsors, and then we'll jump into a little bit of a discussion on Michael Kopech, and then we'll hear from the other Michael Soroka. We want to let you know, though, about our friends over at Circa Sportsbook. They have tight money line splits and a low hold model where games will strive to be a -110 split on the Circa Sports menu, unlike other sports books, which may use a -115 or -120 split. Circa keeps as little money as possible on large market bets like futures and golf tournaments, especially compared to other books, which allows them to keep the lines most advantageous for you the better. They encourage you to download and explore all sports betting apps available to compare lines from each sports book to make sure you are getting the best line possible to lay your money down on. And because they are the world's largest sports book, you will know that most of, if not all the time, you will get the best line possible to bet on. And there are real people behind the Circa Sports brand who resolve issues in a timely fashion, unlike other books who use chatbots who you could have you waiting for, you know, 2, 3, 4 possible weeks until answering your request. And all aspects of the app are being run by the same team that runs the main Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. So download Circa Sports Illinois download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/illinois-app at circasports.com/illinois-app to sign up today. Also be on the lookout for Circa events, watch parties, and tailgates. If you are somebody you know, you have If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537, or text GMB to 833-234. Visit areyoureallywinning.com.
And what's the next read, Sean?
CHGO events, Herb.
CHGO events. I am a CHGO diehard member, so are you, Sean. But I don't know if you recall that we had a CHGO takeover at the United Center with our Bulls team. That event was with the Minnesota Timberwolves. It was down by 20-plus early. And so having our audience there that day seemed like foolhardy, and it seemed like we were going to have a bad day. But no, they came back and had one of the most exciting games that the Bulls have had this year. You, right there at home, can be a part of that audience with Big Dave, with Matt Peck, with Will Gottlieb, or in the future, with us. We're going to be doing a couple CHGO takeovers, and that's the type of stuff that CHGO events brings to the table. If you are not a CHGO diehard already, what are you waiting for? It's the perfect time to get that right now, because you get a free T-shirt, 20% off of merch. There's the picture Sarah's showing on the screen. 20% off of merch, 20% off of events like the CHGO tailgates we have with the CHGO Bears, the events we have live shows with us, or the CHGO takeovers like they're going to have with the Blackhawks, which is already sold out. But you'll be the first person to know when you become a CHGO diehard when we have these events. So the next one, as I said, is February 25th for the Chris Chelios takeover event when they have the jersey retirement, but it's already sold out. So make sure you become a CHGO diehard, so we'll send you out the information before we send out everybody else. You'll know when the event is. So allchgo.com, become a diehard today, and you can join us on these CHGO events and takeovers.
Thank you so much, Herb. Let's go over to Michael Kopech. I thought it was very funny last year when he said his goal was to pitch 180 innings. I think it's a little bit more easy to digest when he says 30 starts here. What do we expect for Kopech? And two, like, have we heard more clarification on what these starts may look like? It didn't seem like we've gotten too much insight on what Kopech wants to change. We know that he's made some progress so far with Brian Bannister on changing things, but it doesn't seem like we've gotten too much insight on what exactly is being done with the with Kopech just yet.
Sure. And I think, you know, like a lot of the things that we've been talking about here in the last couple of days, that's probably something that will evolve over the course of the next month and a half. You know, Brian Bannister was out there today doing similar stuff with pitchers that he was when I talked about what he was doing with Michael Kopech yesterday. And I think he was literally introducing himself to somebody. I don't remember who it was. It might have been Chad Cool. It might have been, oh, it was Nick Nastrini. That's who it was. He literally shook his hand, you know, for the first time meeting him in person. So this is, you know, the very beginning of that process. And I think that you will see Brian Bannister have a big effect on Michael Kopech. But at the end of the day, Michael Kopech's done this before. He has had success in the big leagues before. We didn't see a lot of it last year. I think Chris Getz has talked over and over again about how the improved defense should help pitchers stay more in the strike zone, be more confident staying in the strike zone. Michael Kopech led the American League in walks last year. You know, you can put those two things together. But at the end of the day, there's just a lot of things that he needs to fix, because last year looked really, really ugly at times. I think he probably has some idea of what that wants to be on his own, but he's also got a pretty big support staff here, quite literally a staff here to help him do that, whether that's Ethan Katz, whether that's Brian Bannister. Remember, the White Sox have a new assistant pitching coach in Matt Wise. And you heard Michael Kopech asked about Martin Maldonado, who is out there and visibly having pretty in-depth conversations with these guys both before and after the bullpens, as Michael mentioned. So I think that there's a lot of new that can help Michael Kopech attack things from a different angle. But I think at the same time, he can attack things at an angle that he's probably got more in his mind and say, listen, I took a big league mound and I had some really good moments. Let's get back to that guy. Let's get back to that. I know how I did that before. Now it's just a matter of making it happen.
When you hear the 30 starts, or at least I did, I was like, ugh, that's a little too much. But he finished with 27 starts last year and 30 appearances. So it's not that far-fetched for him to get to that number. But I would more want to focus on how long you last in those starts. And I got it. Posting, as we talked about, is important. And having only like 44 people last year getting over that 30 start mark is a thing. So it's not a thing that used to be kind of like commonplace. You get 30 starts a year from any starting pitcher. But I think Michael Kopech has more of a realistic goal than Sean said, the 180 innings that he was aiming for last year. I don't mind setting big goals and trying to hit them, but I want to set realistic goals, and it seems like he's more realistic in with what he is at now, at this point in his career right now. And 30 starts, I think it will speak to his both pitching well and him pitching deep into games, because there's more options this year to replace Michael Kopech if he doesn't pitch that well. He'll probably, you know, last year, the 27 starts, he got taken out at the end, I think mostly because maintenance and other things they wanted to work on. But I think 30 starts is a good number for him to aim for, and I hope he's also within there going a little more than the five and dime dive than he's used to.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think he's got that workload. He's gone from 11,000 pitches in 2021 to 2,000 pitches in 2022 to, in 2023, 2,430 pitches. And two, Ajay Patel, who runs a lot of data on Twitter that I follow, has his own Stuff Plus metric, and he broke it down by innings. And I got Michael Kopech's fastballs by innings. And when you look at innings 6, 7, 8, and 9, obviously not a ton of examples or not a ton of sample size, 88 pitches, 33 pitches, 11 pitches, 26 pitches. But in those 6, 7, 8, and 9th innings, 113 stuff plus, 116 stuff plus, 141 stuff plus, 112 stuff plus, his average 107. So he's higher in those later innings when he gets to there. It's all about being more effective and more efficient with those pitches. If he does have 2,403 pitches or whatever, or maybe he's able to be a little bit more efficient and gets a 2,600, right? Is he going to be able to get to 130 innings just because he's not walking 90 guys, like you mentioned, Vinny, leading the American League? It really does seem like there is a quality pitcher within Michael Kopech. It does seem, especially when we're looking at all these guys, whether it be Soroka's injury pass, Flexen's ineffectiveness, it does seem like Kopech has kind of the best of both worlds, where he has stuff, like true capital S stuff, and at least, unlike Garrett Crochet, a true starter's background where he's thrown 100 plus innings in multiple seasons before.
And hopefully for Michael Kopech and the White Sox, their defense first philosophy comes to fruition and they pick up the ball behind him, because it's more likely he's going to be trying to throw more strikes this year because he's more confident in the people behind him. And then now lead to getting into that sixth inning and staying in the sixth inning and then getting to that seventh inning, maybe. Because we've seen him when he's on, one of the best pitchers at the top of the league.
Anything else more on Kopech before we get to Soroka here, Vin?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm muted, aren't I? There you go. I would just say that, you know, we heard a lot from Michael, that we've heard from other players, you know, and chiefly we've heard from Pedro. This team has a mindset of not of doing what you don't think they're going to do. And it's not a surprise for this time of year, but I think we heard Michael verbalize it. We heard Dylan verbalize it yesterday. We've heard Mike Soroka verbalize it today. I think that you're going to continue to hear the kind of idea, you know, I don't like to say us against the world, but the kind of idea that the people in that clubhouse are like, oh, they don't think we can do it, and get a little bit of the chip on the shoulder. I'm not saying it'll turn into wins, but if you want to know kind of what the mindset is, what the vibe in that clubhouse is, we're starting to hear that at this time of the year, again, not maybe a terrible surprise, but we are starting to hear that that might be what Pedro Grifol is pushing and what a lot of these players might be buying into a little bit, at least before the actual games start being played.
And if it does turn into wins, I know no fans will be upset. And a guy who is used to some winning, the Atlanta Braves, he was at least on the World Series team in 2021, is Michael Soroka. He just talked to the media about the differences between playing in Atlanta and Chicago and the expectations that he has in his new city. Here's Michael Soroka on Chicago.
I'm excited about it. We just had a nice meeting about opportunity, actually. It's awesome to be here. You know, obviously, we're changing a few things, and that was one thing that Skip made a point of letting us all know, is that there's a lot of opportunity on the table here. I'm one of the players that's looking to take advantage.
You're meeting a lot of new people, but everybody's meeting a lot of new people. There's a lot of turnover here. What's that like?
Tons. It's exciting. You know, I've mentioned it a few times. I think there's a lot of guys in this clubhouse that are fighting for careers. You know, I think there's a lot of guys that think they have a lot more to give to this game, and you know, that's what makes a gritty team, and I'm excited to be a part of that.
We asked you just a few weeks ago when you're at the event how you're feeling, and you said you had a good offseason. How do you feel, you know, getting ready to ramp it up now here?
Really good. Yeah, I got over my flu already, so I'm all through with that. I don't have to deal with that in camp. But yeah, I feel really good. Arm feels fresh, and hopefully ready to throw a lot of innings this year.
What have the last few years kind of been like for you, and are you one of those guys that's trying to prove something here with the White Sox?
Yeah, obviously the last couple of years have been difficult getting back into it, and you know, obviously having some success so early on, you want to do it year in, year out, and then obviously what happened took 3 years out of my career, but I'm trying to get that on the back end now. So you know, just looking to stay the course I'm on. You know, it basically you know, got to the point where, you know, last season I felt like things were really starting to click. So kind of continue that momentum into this year, and like I said, go throw up a bunch of zeros.
Coming from a championship organization, what do you think you can bring along, you know, you and Schuster, some of the guys that came from Atlanta, as far as mentality moving forward here?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's all I've ever known was pennants. We won the division every year since I got called up, which was pretty crazy. And honestly, not a lot of those years we were picked to win the division either. I think that was a chip on our shoulder every year over there, was that, you know, we knew what we had. And again, I think there's a group of people over here that know this division's wide open, and we can go take that. So that's always going to be the plan. Go put the best foot forward and go compete. So
we talked to Pedro yesterday, and he had a chip on his shoulder. He referenced Dakota saying the White Sox have a 0% chance of getting to the postseason. Did he share that with you guys in the meeting? Or when you hear something like that, does that motivate you?
It does, absolutely. Yeah, you know, we try and use our numbers and our analytics for what we can, but, you know, we're well aware that there's a good number of things that, you know, aren't true until we make it that. So we're going to go out there and try and obviously reverse that one.
Having a real fresh start in a new organization, how good is that for you mentally, you know, moving forward, saying, you know, I know I can pitch in the big leagues and I can start here with the White Sox?
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, when it first happened, obviously there's lots of emotions leaving a team that drafted you, and you know, I've been with them for 8 or 9 seasons, and but moving to an organization that really wanted me out there was really important to me. So immediately kind of talked to the pitching staff and what they have for me, and they're excited to get me out there, and I'm even more excited to be out there.
And when you go through an injury like the one you went through, does it change your perspective on the game a little bit, on your mindset on, like, being able to play?
I mean, a little bit. I mean, it definitely puts into perspective that this isn't forever. You know, when you get drafted at 17 and first few years in the minor leagues kind of roll by, you feel like you're going to be in this game forever, and you know, that's just not the case. So definitely puts that in perspective a little bit, and you know, you start talking to some cases around the league that have also dealt with some pretty big issues, and you find it's actually a lot more common than you'd be led to think. It's just guys have dealt with it out of the spotlight. Obviously mine happened well within it, and that's one thing I'm grateful for is youth. You know, I'm still only 26. You know, hopefully I do have lots of years ahead of me, and I'm going to try and earn that.
You talked to Jake Berger, right, about the Achilles injuries, and yep. You know, he was a fan favorite here. What did he share about his perseverance through that and also dealing with the mental side as well?
Yeah, he was great for me just to kind of keep going forward. I talked to him a lot. You know, I talked to him about the plateaus that you hit and the days where it doesn't seem like you're getting much better. And he was there for me to make sure that things just kept moving forward. So very thankful for him, and obviously wish him the best of luck in Miami.
What about leadership? What have you learned about leadership? Is it something that can be taken, or is it something that's earned? What do you see from your perspective?
Yeah, from my perspective here, obviously I'm new. There's not a ton of people that know me here, and obviously the first thing that you got to go do is earn it. You know, I think that's going to be taking the mound aggressively every time I get a chance to be out there, and you know, I think people tend to follow that, and you know, that's kind of how you build leadership, and you make a clubhouse full of guys that lead with you.
What do you make of this group of pitchers and maybe the competition for a few of those spots in the rotation?
Yeah, it's obviously I haven't got a chance to watch too much yet, but you know, I think there's a lot of guys out there that you know, feel that they have more to give. You know, I think there's some guys that have had some down years and know that they have more in them, you know, including myself. So competing with those guys is always fun. That's what brings out the best to you.
One guy you got to see is Schuster, obviously. What do you like about his game and getting to know him over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I got to know Jared quite a bit this year. This past year in AAA, we were both kind of up and down a little bit and going through it. So Jared and I got really close, and you know, I know he's always working every day to get to where he wants to be. So, you know, it's nice to have a familiar face over here too. You know, Jared's gonna do his best to get what he needs to on the table. I know he's been working on a few things this offseason, so I'm excited to see what he's got.
What kind of indicated to you that things were clicking even while, you know, being up and down last year?
Innings in a game, efficiency, strikeouts. Just kind of got back to feeling like myself a little bit, and you know, although a couple of those games were in AAA, you know, it still got to the point where I felt like I didn't belong there anymore, and that's kind of how I felt when I first got called up. So that's kind of what led me to believe that it was time to take a next step, and I'm very grateful an organization like the White Sox is giving me that.
Welcome back, and that is Michael Soroka, the young Michael Soroka. I think that's the thing that really caught me by surprise while listening to him. Michael Kopech had obviously setbacks in his own career. 2018 made his debut with the White Sox, and then had to have Tommy John, and then didn't play in the 2020 season. But he is older than Michael Soroka, and Soroka, a little bit of a different case. He's had 40 games or so in Major League Baseball, but those have been a really good 40 games. Kopech, 100 games, 60 starts, 20 more starts than Soroka, but maybe not the same results. What do we look at competition-wise when you see Kopech and Soroka? Is it the experience of Kopech that might stick out and maybe the loyalty to the organization, or Soroka's youth and potential that we've seen, especially back in 2019 from Soroka?
Yeah, I mean, I think both guys obviously have, you know, you laid out the stories. They're pretty good. I would think personally that Michael Kopech would be a guy who is certainly more likely to land a rotation spot than Mike Soroka. That doesn't mean that Mike Soroka isn't likely to land one, but I think that Kopech is a guy they keep saying we're going to give him every opportunity to be a starting pitcher. To me, that means it's a major league level. So, you know, if spring training stats can be misleading, which we heard Pedro Grifol talk about last year, it might not even matter exactly what Michael Kopech is doing in those Cactus League games. Give him the shot in April or May or June, you know, as long as it needs. That at least jibes kind of with what they've been saying. Now, when it comes to Soroka, maybe he's a guy who has to fight for a spot. I mean, we've talked about it. Dylan Cease has a spot. Eric Fetty has a spot. And Chris Getzis, he expects Chris Flexen to be part of the Major League rotation too. If we're thinking Michael Kopech is going to get one of those spots too, that only leaves one left. And if there's 14 or 15 total guys competing for those five spots, and four of them have those spots already, that's a lot of guys competing for one. Michael Soroka might be the leading candidate for that fifth spot. He's a guy who has shown that he can do it at the major league level. But again, he's got to go show that he can do it this spring. He's a guy who's had to battle, obviously, as he talked about, a lot of health issues. And then last year on a very good Braves team that had some very good starting pitchers, of course, he was kind of on the bus between AAA and the major league. So it hasn't exactly been just, hey, you're healthy, all right, welcome back to the major league rotation when he was with Atlanta. It might be that way with the White Sox, but I do think he has to go out there and prove it. And I think he's ready to prove it, as you heard him talking about. That's another theme we keep hearing in terms of the vibes with these guys. Not the whole, what we heard last year, right? The whole, we're going to prove that 2022 White Sox were not the White Sox that you thought that they were. And then it ended up that they were much worse. But the idea of each individual guy having to go and prove who he is. And in a sport where, you know, these guys do bounce around from team to team, maybe this is a more important prove it kind of spring, because these guys, as Mike Soroka said, are playing for their careers.
And yeah, I couldn't agree more, because this is a second chance for him on a different team that doesn't have a lot of people with success in the past, at least the 11 pitchers that he'll be battling for that fifth spot, starter spot for. So I would think that he would have the leg up on most of the people in the rotation, the Shultons, the Tuki Toussaints of the world, because of those people's also having bullpen work in their recent past. Mike Soroka had a good year last year in Gwinnett, and then when he came up to the major leagues, struggled a little bit. But the one thing that he's been consistently not walking people, which is a godsend. That's awesome to see that he is a person that pitches the ball over the plate, not necessarily striking out a ton of people. I think he's at an 8 strikeout per 9, but a guy that just throws the ball over the plate, hit it, and it doesn't give up a bunch of home runs with that. So if we can any type of capturing of that old 2019 Michael Soroka, man, the White Sox got found money. And for just one player in Aaron Bummer, you already got a starter at Nicky Lopez for the most part. And if you get another starter out of Michael Soroka, it's a solid trade.
We will see what happens. We got one more show tomorrow. You could join us at 5 p.m. Vinny will update us again, day 4 from spring training. Vinny, any final thoughts from spring training that we didn't hit? Because you talked to Chris Getz as well. Any names that might have come out from those Brian Bannister bullpen sessions, or did we hit everything?
No, I think we hit basically everything from today. Obviously, we're looking at trends that are developing, and I do think Bannister's one. He's getting down and dirty with everybody, no doubt about it.
Have you gotten out to your tiki place yet?
Not yet. That's in the plans, though. That's in the works.
All right. We'll wait with bated breath for that news. That's Vinny Duber. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. I know soon we'll have his three things that he learned from today posted on our YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe. Hit that like button on your way out. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him at Eckerwall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. Thank you to Sarah for producing the show. And Moose is now a White Sox. We'll talk more and more about Mike Moustakas' future with the Sox here on CHGO White Sox. I'm Sean Anderson. Goodbye.